Hello, everybody. You may wish to get your tools out because we're going in the weeds today. No, I'm not talking about swing blades or sickles or pruning shears. Rather, you're going to wish to get your note-taking tools ready as we wade into the weeds of a medical appointment. We're going to dive deeper into the weedy part of your medical encounter, the preparation, the arrival, the discussion, the departure, and the debrief. Now, I'm going to give you some questions and communication tips, but first, let me assure you that in a medical appointment, the patient has plenty of power and options. First, preparation. Let us get our heads on straight about this appointment. In the precursor article to this one, the power of patient participation, I discussed what it meant to be an activated patient. That's a big part of becoming activated, is to prepare you for the appointments and to be active inside of them. You see, there's a lot of power for the patient, and that's what we're delving into today. In the previous segment, I had gone over some basics, but consider these one or two additional notions right now. First, use the rest of the team effectively. It's not just you and your doctor in the exam room. There are two, hopefully three, but four people who will be working with you at this encounter. You have a job to do. Your doctor has a job to do. The care partner may have multiple jobs to do. A nurse or medical assistant does also. And then there's the front desk staff too. You'll be interfacing with all of them, so keep that in mind. Bring all of you. By that I mean wear your glasses and your hearing aids. Use the walker and rollator if you're supposed to, because that may become part of a provider's evaluation of you, and it may become the topic of discussion. Consider your appointment to be a business meeting. Now, some folks suggest that we consider a medical appointment as a business meeting. The average appointment lasts 15 minutes only, so we have a designated amount of time to get certain stuff discussed and handled. It's a 15-minute meeting where you and others have to do their job, and everybody has a speaking part. In light of this, the appointment needs to be well executed. Bring a care partner. Your care partner is the person who's accompanying you, and they have a big role. Depending upon your needs, they can do things like take notes during the encounter. They should already be familiar with the list of concerns. Oh, you've prepped your list of concerns, right? And they should be prepared to enter the discussion if need be. They can certainly ensure that the main topics are covered and that the answers are understood. Okay, arrival. Arrive on time. It helps everyone. Think about it. You, staff, others waiting for their appointments. Enough said. Try to relax. It's natural to be nervous or anxious when you visit a healthcare provider, but try to relax as much as possible. You know, it may be wise to avoid drinking caffeine within an hour of your visit, because you want your vital readings to be normal, right? Not enhanced. Skip that dose of heavy cough syrup until you can describe your symptoms to the provider who's going to take a look at you. Did you know that there's this thing called white coat syndrome? A percentage of patients suffer from white coat hypertension, which means their blood pressure actually rises higher than normal when they're in a medical office. So when you arrive, take a few deep breaths. Remember that arriving early for your appointment allows you to sit quietly for a few moments and to kind of center yourself or go over your prep for this business meeting. Okay, they're calling your name. Here is where you may begin to employ that use your team effectively concept. A medical assistant, a nurse has escorted you toward the exam room, and they may begin weighing you or to take your vitals. You may wish to record those, or your care partner can. Ask them to repeat the numbers and demonstrate that you're an activated patient and a willing participant to write this down. Here's where you're actually using your team. As the nurse or medical assistant settles you into the exam room, announce why you're there. State that you've brought your questions. They may even take those notes or enter them into the notes, and that's going to set the stage for the provider. Also, it's likely if there are questions after the appointment that this is the professional with whom you're going to communicate. So build a little rapport, you know, make a friend here. The nurse or medical assistant or provider will most likely begin to review your medications. Take time to show them all the prescribed medications, over-the-counter medications, supplements, and anything you have recently used, such as cough syrup. And remember when you did. This is also a time to bring up which doctor may have started or discontinued a medication. It's a great way of making sure that one provider knows what the other one may be doing and if they've introduced a different medication or discontinued one as part of their treatment. It all has bearing. We've all seen the dangers of providers not knowing and medications, you know, clashing, their side effects seemingly producing more symptoms, and that may cause overprescribing. So there's two ways that you can prepare for this portion of your discussion. One way is to make a list that includes the name of your medications, the dosages, who prescribed it, and the schedule of when you take it. A simple and certainly effective way could be to simply put all your pill bottles and other medications, vitamins and all, in a reclosable plastic bag. Take them with you. It's easier because then you don't need to write down complicated names and dosages. Guess what? As many as 1 in 3 adults use some form of additional or alternative medicine, yet few mention it to their doctors. Do include vitamins and supplements such as calcium, or over-the-counter medications such as heartburn remedies or cough syrup. Remember eye drops and ocular solutions and ointments. In short, anything that you introduce into or onto your body, it all matters. Into the discussion. Got your list of concerns ready? Remember, we talked about jotting down your concerns and realistically knowing that you may only get to the top 3 in your appointment. More on how to handle that in just a moment. When the provider enters, make your small talk quick. The clock is ticking. Enough said. Let the provider know that you have prepared for this time together. They love an activated patient on nearly every occasion. Tell them you've brought a list of concerns and questions. Now, at this point, it may be important to do a couple of things. Do not show them a list of 11 topics to cover in your 15 minutes. It sends the wrong message. Shows you're unrealistic in your expectations. But let the provider know that you've tried to prioritize your concerns and that the two of you can only cover so much in the time you have together. Convey your willingness to return as needed to cover the rest. Here's a good one. Offer to let your provider see your list and ask them to decide what is most important. And or simply convey your readiness to let them know that the two of you can only handle so much in a short time. Now let's take a pause here. Let's step out into the proverbial hallway, if you will, for just a moment. Let's remind ourselves about what our goals are in the discussion and everybody's jobs in this encounter. Here's where we take charge of your healthcare. The goals here are to get your questions answered in this meeting, to be frank, to be honest. Many a nervous or embarrassed patient has waited until the doctor reaches for the doorknob before blurting out the most important thing to them. You're right here, right now, so let's maximize. A few words about honesty. Be honest with your doctor. Multiple studies show that everything from 18 to 80% of patients are not honest. They may fudge or conceal relevant information that would have bearing on their outcome. Now, what are people lying about? I read one survey of 500 people, and it found that 46% lied about smoking, 43% lied about exercise, 38% lied about drinking, 29% lied about their sexual partners. And that all doesn't add up to 100% because some people said they lied on multiple subjects. Why are patients lying? Patients are admitting that they fear of being judged or that they're embarrassed. Believe me, providers have seen it all. They've heard it all. This is one of those confidential times in which you will need to help them help you, help them do their job, and get yourself some solid results. Now we're back in the examination room now, back into the encounter so we can take charge of your healthcare. As you enter into the discussion, know what your doctor might be listening for. It's important to communicate two things: symptoms and what matters to you. Not just what is the matter with you. Doctors have been trained to listen for symptoms, so describe your symptoms in detail. I too am saying symptoms, not possible diagnoses that you read from Dr. Google. Do not say, "I think I have such and such." Report on what you've noticed. When, what time of day, and how often does it happen? When was the last time? How long do the symptoms last? What were you doing when this last happened? And how did it affect you and your activities, etc.? As the exam and discussion progress, you may become confused during the discussion with the instructions or the jargon used. Ask for clarification. This is a two-way street, and after all, this is your appointment. For instance, you might say, "I want to make sure I understand. Could you explain that a little more?" Or, "I didn't understand that word. What does it mean?" If you don't understand something, don't hesitate to ask. You could say, "Can you explain that in simpler terms?" Or "Can you give me more detail about that?" Additional questions that encourage dialogue and ask for education might be, "What is actually happening in my body right now? Will this condition ever go away? How will it affect my day-to-day life?" You may also wish to ask for recommendations for a consult, another doctor to review your case. This is not rude. For those times when the provider recommends additional testing, here are some questions for you to consider. Of tests, what is the test for? How will the test be done? How will it feel? What do I need to do to get ready for it? When will I, or we is better, you know, it infers you're working with a team, as a team. When will we get the results? How will the results be delivered? For times when treatment is recommended, here are some additional questions for you to consider. How do I spell the name of that drug? Are there any side effects? Will this medication interact with the other medicines I'm already taking? What is the treatment? How does it work? How effective is it? Are there any alternatives? What are the possible complications? How many times have you done this procedure? If your referral is to another provider or a specialist, it may be advised then to draw from those questions we just mentioned. Use the gist of them or modify them. For example, you might say, "What will I learn from this referral? Will you refer me directly? How long might it take to be seen? inferring that you'd like some help getting in before 6 months. For testing or treatment or for referrals, I have a personal favorite question that I employ whenever it's appropriate. It's good for almost every encounter, so weigh it beforehand. Do you need to ask? And if we do nothing, the patient needs to know this too. You may wish to inquire if insurance will cover the testing or the treatment or the referral. Find out who answers insurance questions if it's not the provider. It's okay to lodge your concern that the referral be in network, that it be made to someone or for something that your insurance will cover. The office may have a navigator who will be the one coordinating that referral, so it's pretty key information for them to know. Do you know how your provider's office handles this kind of question? Speaking of understanding, the care partner can play a vital role in the discussion by interjecting a need for more information, that need for clarification. They can ask for translation into simpler terms or for a restatement. They too have to understand the patient's main talking points, but also be able to record any next steps that come during your time together. Both the patient and the care partner should be clear before the provider leaves. And you have to know what to do if there's a question later. Here we are at departure, but wait a minute. You're still not happy? Share your point of view about the visit with your doctor. Tell that provider if you feel rushed or worried or uncomfortable. If necessary, you can offer to return for a second visit to discuss your concerns. Try to voice your feelings in a positive way. For instance, you could say something like, "I know you have a lot of patients to see, but I'm really worried about this. I'd feel much better if we could talk about it a little more." Now take the time to recap with the doctor before you and that person exit. At the end of the appointment, review what you've heard. You could say something like, "We talked about my lower back pain, and you recommended that I try a heating pad and these specific exercises. Am I hearing what you said correctly?" You know, when you use a phrase like, "What I'm hearing you say is," that cues your provider to pause and make sure that you understand the problem and what the next steps are. It's absolutely okay and essential to ask your provider if you can come back soon to handle the rest of your list. Finally, be sure you know how to contact that doctor's office if you have more questions. How are you supposed to let them know if a treatment is or isn't working? How do you get in touch with somebody? You can use your after-visit summary, your AVS, that's the paperwork provided to you when you're leaving the office. The patient and the care partner can use that to later debrief. A debrief after the fact ensures the understanding and allows for a plan. For example, who's picking up the prescription, who's going to make the next appointment, arrange transportation for it, or when to expect a call regarding testing, stuff like that. Long-distance caregivers need to be in the loop too. Who, patient or care partner, will be letting your very important persons know what transpired and what's next? Before I conclude today, I want to speak to another medical elephant in the room, and that's bias in healthcare. Like anywhere else, there's a lot of bias in healthcare. We know of documented concerns about gender bias, racial bias, insurance bias, bias against obesity and the LGBTQ community, just to name a few. For the purposes of our own appointments, let's just make sure that we do all we can to be that activated patient by doing all the things that we're talking about today. Even without any kind of bias, there are some providers with whom we simply will not gel. for whatever reason, many people lament that they don't feel heard by their provider, or they felt their concerns were dismissed. You have options. If you've tried all the activated patient communication tips that we've covered thus far and still feel like your doctor isn't listening to you or solving your problem, it may be best to find another. Consider finding a new provider or asking for a referral for a specialist who deals more with your symptoms. Sometimes, just telling your doctor that you're thinking about switching out of their care can make them take you more seriously. It's not only helpful to speak up about what you've experienced, doing so could inspire change. I remember reading the remarks of a doctor who recalled a time 25 years previously when one of her patients complained that she wasn't paying enough attention. And she said, "I remember what she looks like decades later. And from that time on, I made an effort to do better." Now, you and I have a recap, and it is as follows. Prepare, for this will be your 15-minute business meeting where everybody has a job to do and everybody will have a speaking part. Think about and have ready your top three concerns for discussion and how the symptoms affect your daily living. Know what makes it better, know what makes it worse, when they began, etc. Stuff to take includes your insurance information and your medications and the other stuff too, those vitamins, supplements, over-the-counter items you may have recently introduced to your body. And you can watch this video again. Just kidding. No, maybe I wouldn't. All right, you made it through the weeds with me. I welcome your commentary. You guys are so good about writing to me and telling me your experiences. And I invite all of your questions. You know I read every email. Please refer somebody who may benefit from my single consultation model. It's an hour of good work that results in recommendations, and there's no obligation for invoicing or ongoing, as I like to say. It's just a really good hour of work. Nobody has ever let me know that they did not feel heard. I can tell you that. May I help someone you know? I hope that something that I've shared today helps you to move more comfortably forward in the future. Thanks, everybody.